In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening, of course, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Friday edition of the show today. I hope you guys had an awesome week. I know I have. I'm enjoying this time home. 10 days, my longest stretch home until Christmas. So I'm definitely enjoying this time at home. But today is a little bit bittersweet. You know, child number two, my second oldest, is moving. In fact, my wife is driving her down to San Francisco. She took a job as a special education counselor at the school district. And so she's moving today. And so my wife, in fact, I'm tracking them. They're approaching the California border right now. So safe travels to my wife and my daughter, Angela. Said goodbye to her this morning. My oldest daughter, Claire, has also moved out, although she's a lot closer. She's about 15 to 20 minutes away. So, you know, it's that time. We're getting close to the empty nest here. I've been thinking about that. Also, today's an amazing day, feast day of St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, also known as Edith Stein, who grew up Jewish. Her dad died when she was about 2 years old, and she ended up losing her, like so many young people today. she lost her faith in God, she's absolutely brilliant. Started studying philosophy, and ended up getting her doctorate. And over the course of the years, finding her faith again, becoming Catholic, and then entering the Carmelites as a nun, and died in the prison camps in Auschwitz during World War II. But brilliant woman of faith. And my goddaughter is her feast day is today. I already reached out to her and wished her a happy feast day today. And today's also a special day because if you listen to the show regularly, you know that I've been talking about the Reviving America Summit, which is a free online series coming up July 29th. And to August 30th, it's an exciting opportunity for Catholics to learn more about their faith. And here to talk to us about the Reviving America Summit is the organizer of the summit, David B. Wright. Now, some of you may know David or know of him, and if you don't, he is the one who founded 40 Days for Life. And now he's working with this Reviving America Summit. So I want to welcome David to Beacon of Truth. David, how you doing?
Oh, Deacon Harold, I'm so excited to be here with you on this amazing show.
Thank you. Thank you, David. So tell us about the Reviving America Summit. How did it come about, and what can people expect?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in the last 20 years, as I've traveled all across America and around the world, same as you have done, I've increasingly had people of faith and conscience, both pro-life people and people involved in other cultural areas, expressing to me how they're so distressed about the state of our culture, the way things are headed, where things are going, and they're worried for their own children, for the future generations. And they've been expressing to me this sense of almost on the verge of despair or a sense of powerlessness. And they've expressed to me things like, you know, I look at the decline of faith around me. That's concerning. I look at the breakdown of the family. I look at all the attacks against human life. I look at the erosion of liberties and freedoms. And I'm looking and I'm saying, where are the virtuous holy leaders who are going to help guide us through this season? And as they shared all this with me, and it was really weighing on my heart, I started to think, well, why can't we offer hope and solutions to people in those different areas, faith and family, life and liberty and leadership? And so as I was praying about it, I started thinking of all the amazing people I know, including, yes, Deacon Harold, who are great leaders who are doing amazing things, bringing about transformation in various aspects of the culture, in the areas of faith, in the areas of life, in the areas of liberty and family and leadership. And I reached out to all these different people that I knew who are some of the most influential leaders in these different arenas. And I said, what if we all got together and we put together a series to train people on how they can start to bring about the change that we need in our homes, in our parishes, in our communities, and around the world? And they all said yes. And they all said they would help for free because they believe so much in this mission, including, yes, you, Deacon Harold. And so as we put this together, what we were really looking for is for these experts to come and not just share knowledge, but instead share practical lessons and strategies. So, for example, in the week we will cover at the end of the summit, Deacon Harold's going to talk specifically about courageous leadership. And he is such a bold voice, the dynamic deacon out there helping people to live up to their God-given calling and to lead the change that needs to happen. So we said, we want Deacon Harold to teach us how to be a courageous leader and then help us know how we can apply that in our own lives. Then we have people like Matthew Kelly who are going to teach us how to answer the call that God has given us. Bishop Mike Siss from San Angelo, Texas. How do we leave a legacy of leadership? But for every week, week one, we covered with on the area of faith, we had Father John Ricardo and Dr. Scott Hahn and Curtis Martin from Focus and Jeff Cavins and Dan Demite from Damascus. Then week two about family, we had a representative from Heritage Foundation. We had Damon and Melanie Owens. We had Mike and Alicia Hernan, JP DeGance from Communio, Dr. Ray Gurundi. So all of these leaders and all these experts are coming together. So if you go to revivingamericasummit.com, you'll see all the experts, all the speakers, you'll see the topics they're covering, this amazing flow, a masterclass, if you will, of cultural renewal. And you can sign up for free, absolutely for free. And every weekday, one new session is released. And if you say, well, I missed one that happened last week, no worries. You can go back and watch or listen to that one throughout the 5 weeks of the summit. But Deacon Harold, my hope, and I'm so thankful that you agreed to be a part of this. You offered so much value and wisdom and insights and expertise to it. I'm hopeful that as people go through these sessions, that they'll be inspired, they'll be filled with hope and realize we're not powerless. We can make a difference. We can learn from people who've been there, done that, and we can take these practical strategies, put them into action, and we can start to bring about renewal in our communities and across our nation. That's what we're aiming to accomplish.
Oh, and that's exactly what we need now, too, because people are looking for practical tools, things that they can actually do in their life every day to make a change, because it seems like a juggernaut. It seems like David and Goliath, and the culture is the Goliath. It seems so overwhelming, but remember, David won, right?
Yes.
And he had the practical tools of he had the slingshot, right, and the five smooth stones. And so, but you're giving us this Reviving America Summit. I was so honored to be part of this, and I'm going to be encouraging everybody I know to really lean into this. It's free online series starting it says July 29th. So did it start already, David?
Last week. It's going right now, and it's going to go from now until August 30th. So sign up now. You can access all the past sessions, get all the other ones as they're released, and together, let's start to bring about some transformation in our culture.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more. That's exactly what we need right now. Absolutely brilliant. So that was David B. Wright, the founder of 40 Days for Life and the organizer of the Reviving America Summit. Again, I cannot strongly encourage you enough to sign up for this revivingamericasummit.com. Sign up for the free 5 week sessions, and it'll be very, very, very much worth your time, and will truly bless you. All right, we're talking about who is Jesus today on Beacon of Truth. Would love you to be part of the program. The phone number to call is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Yeah.
That's like,
yeah.
That's Friday music right there.
That is. Nice little drum fill there as well.
Yep.
This is like sit in your car, driving home, thinking about your week, thinking about all the awesome stuff you're going to do on the weekend.
Yep.
Got your window rolled down, you know. Love it. Cranking this nice and high.
There are times that I'll listen to music and go, man, I wish my top would go down on my car so that I can share my music. But That's in another tax bracket.
Awesome. We listen to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And today, we're talking about who is Jesus. That's right. Who is Jesus in your life? If someone were to ask you who Jesus is, what would you say? Who is Jesus in your life? We're going to talk about that today. And I'm going to share some reflections from St. John Paul II. We'd love to hear from you today. The phone number to call to be with us is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also email us, beacon@EWTN.com. Or you can even text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response and text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply.
Of course, we do want to celebrate heading into the weekend. Holy Family Radio celebrating with Deacon Jeff and his team in Northwest Ohio. 14 years as a part of the EWTN family. So congratulations to them and to 14 million more.
All right, my friends. Well, you know, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms, in this Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, which is its own podcast, its own separate podcast. Go to EW10PodcastCentral.com or, you know, to one of your favorite podcast outlets, Spotify or iTunes or SoundCloud. But, you know, for my money, EWTN. EWTN app. That's what I use all the time. So go there and get the Soulful Psalms podcast. All right. Today, we're looking at Psalm 72. This is a long psalm. And so we're going to break this up into sections. We look at the first nine verses today, verses 1 through 9. Now, Psalm 72 is this end of the Psalm of book two of the Psalms. So that means that we're not going to get to it today, but at the end of this Psalm, there's a doxology. So at the end of every book of the Psalm, so Psalms 41, today, Psalm 72, Psalm 89, Psalm 106, and Psalm 150, actually Psalm 150 is like the doxology for the entire book of Psalms. That's interesting. Also, this is one of two psalms that is attributed to Solomon. The other one is Psalm 127, which is one of the gradual psalms. Now, the prescript of this psalm says of Solomon, but it looks like this was actually written by David about his son Solomon. So, you know, some say it's written by Solomon. Some say it's written by David talking about Solomon. And why do they say that? One, it says written by David. Because David is talking about his son, you know, and the great things that his son is going to do, if he stays close to God's heart. Some say it's written by Solomon, because it talks about the kings of Sheba and Seba, you know, shall bring him gifts. And that's exactly what happened. The queen of Sheba came and brought him with her whole retinue of the camels and the dromedaries and the gold and all the things that she brought. So those things were fulfilled. The interesting thing, if this was written by Solomon, he'd be writing in the third person. You know, instead of saying I, he's saying he. You know, so again, I have a tendency to think that this was written by David, and that a lot of the psalm is prophetic when it talks about his son Solomon. All right, so let's dive in. The prescript is very, very simple. Of Solomon, right? Of Solomon. And it starts, O God, give your judgment to the king, to a king's son, your justice, that he may judge your people in justice and your poor in right judgment. All right, so two things. The first part of that first verse is reminds me of 1 Kings chapter 2. So the first five or six verses or so of 1 Kings chapter 2, David is getting ready to die, preparing to die. And he has his son Solomon before him. And he's saying, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. And he tells him not just to be a man, he tells him how he must be a man of God, following God's statutes, God's ordinances, God's counsels, God's commandments, so that you may have life, that you may be strong, you know. So he's encouraging him. And the second part, that you may judge your people in justice. So remember, when Solomon was sleeping, the Lord came to him in a dream and said, I will give you whatever you want. And Solomon didn't ask for money or power or prestige. He asked for an understanding mind. He asked for wisdom, chokhmah, so that he can rule the people well, so he can live out the responsibility, this tremendous responsibility of following the footsteps of his father, who is the greatest king in the history of Israel. So those first two verses kind of summarizes all of that. Then it continues, may the mountains bring forth peace for the people and the hills justice. May he defend the poor of the people and save the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. All right. So, God's power, God's strength is described as a mountain. Several times we see that description in the Psalms. But he's saying that the mountains bring forth peace for the people. So obviously there was a lot of war and fighting during the time of David, but he's praying that, and it actually did happen. There was during Solomon's reign was a time of great peace for the people of Israel. Remember, because David had reunited the two kingdoms, the northern and the southern kingdoms, the 12 tribes of Israel were together once again, and they were at peace. So this is something that David prayed for and was fulfilled during his time of his son Solomon. He shall endure like the sun and the moon through all generations. Right. So again, David's using this language of nature, which he does all throughout the Psalms that he's written. So just like the sun and the moon, you can always count on the sun rising and setting. He talks about, and the moon as well, right? In a sense, the moon rising and setting as well. So just as we can count on that, we can count on God's prominence and providence enduring through all generations. So long after David is dead, long after Solomon is dead, this message is for all of us as well. May he defend the poor of the people. Oh, sorry. That he shall descend like rain on the meadows, like showers that water the earth. Again, using this analogy of nature, like rain that drenches the meadow. God's love and God's mercy permeates our lives. He showers the water like showers that water the earth. In his days shall justice flourish and great peace till the moon is no more. Right? So David's anticipating a time of peace, which, of course, as I just mentioned, that happened during the reign of Solomon. And this is the thing. This is a theme that comes up frequently in the discussions that I have with Ace about finding your peace, right? And so David is saying with the reign of his son Solomon is a great time of peace. And why? Because, and then Solomon, of course, would go on to write some of the great wisdom books. You know, Proverbs and Wisdom and Ecclesiastes were penned by Solomon. So in God's wisdom, in God's heart, in uniting ourselves with God's will, that's where we find that peace.
Well, and I was actually listening to some worship music earlier today, and it was a worship song called Breakthrough, and the whole premise of the bridge, it just keeps repeating of, I know a breakthrough is coming. And the reason that we can believe in that is because we sit in our peace with God, that we don't know. You know, we talked about this earlier in the week. Like, it's okay to go, I don't know how God's going to do this, but he's gonna, because we know that it's out of our realm of strength or possibility. So we can just sit back, and when it unfolds, and the timing is perfect and the peace through it all. Because I love, and this is going to sound cocky, and I don't mean to be, so feel free to rebuke me in any way you feel in this moment, but I love when people go, how did you get to do that? And I go, God made it happen, because there's no way that some of the doors that have happened in my life happened any other way, right? It all comes from God. It all belongs to him, in my opinion. And that's what that's where I find that peace. And so these Psalms like this remind us the breakthrough's coming. Just sit back and chill. The weekend's here. You got time. It's okay.
Yeah, it's like David is a good father, encouraging his son to follow the ways of God, so he can have that encouragement and have that peace. And you're right, I get asked that all the time too. How'd you get to do what you're doing? You know, and I think back, you know, here I am, an immigrant to the U.S., grew up in the hood, you know, in a sense, you know, single parent when my dad left, my mom raising us. And, you know, how did I not end up a statistic and end up doing the things that I do now? It's because of a strong mother, for one, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, tremendous influence. And the men that she placed in my life to help, the godly men that she helped place in my life, you know, going to St. Benedict's and prep in Newark. I mean, all these things that God has put in my life. But the thing is, we have to cooperate and say yes to what God wants to do. And this is what David was encouraging Solomon to do in 1 Kings chapter 2, you know, following the ways of the Lord, his commandments. And he uses this beautiful language of nature to show that, you know, we can always depend on the moon rising and setting, like water that covers the earth. God's love is going to cover us and overshadow us if we open ourselves, if we trust him enough to open ourselves to receive everything that God wants to give us.
Well, and you said it just right there, is that we have to just say yes. Don't say yes, but yes, because so many times we only will say yes once he's revealed. Well, you get to go this direction and do these things. No, I don't do that. But you have to say yes, because he may still be taking you to the thing that's the desire of your heart, because he gives us those desires, right? And then whittles out the ones that don't need to be there or should have never been there to begin with. But in that, just saying yes gives you peace, because you don't know how you're going to get there, but it's the journey that makes the adventure fun. It tries you at times, but it ultimately brings you closer to God in that, because you're, okay, God, I don't know why the GPS has taken me this road. I just want to go through the parking lot and cut through. Like, no, just you go his route, and then that's where you find through it. You go, man, if I hadn't gone that way, if I had gone the short way, I would not have learned the things that I learned.
Yeah, amen. And to just finish off the last couple of verses here, he shall rule from sea to sea, from the river to the bounds of the earth. Because, again, he's showing them, when you follow the ways of the Lord, there's no limits, right? There's no limits to what you can do. Let the desert dwellers fall before him and his enemies lick the dust. So he's going to be a witness, an example to all those pagans around him, and so should we. We're talking about who is Jesus on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. Gotta bring that slide in.
You gotta hit that open chord and do that Pete Townsend where you just, you know, let the arm come all the way up.
Yeah, let it ring out.
That's right.
Awesome. You know, you don't hear enough slide anymore.
No.
You know?
I think it depends where you're listening. I mean, you can find it. You just gotta put it on your playlist.
Yeah, true. But I like this, though. This is awesome, man.
That's why I love technology. Like, if I think of a song I haven't heard in 30 years, I can go, Siri, play, da-da-da-da-da. And there it is. I'm like, yeah! Like, you know, it's like that feeling. It just takes you back. The only time traveler.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. And what's interesting, it not only brings you back, but you can almost feel the exactly how you felt back then. Almost smell.
Oh,
you know, like what, I mean, isn't it interesting how music's able to just, it is, it really is like time travel.
I have a playlist called Feels Like Saturday, and it reminds me of when I was a kid, because we had rituals in my house where every Saturday was cleaning day. So my mom would raise the windows, we'd turn on the radio, and then we would just have music playing through the house while we were cleaning. And then once the cleaning was done, you could go do whatever, which for me was, you know, bikes and friends and whatever. But those songs, you know, that resonate from that era of my life, like, I've got a whole playlist of it. So whatever I'm doing, if I need a Feels Like Saturday kind of moment, I just put that on and I'm like, I'm back. It's right there. I can smell the air through the windows. And, you know, it's just, it's what I love about music. It's amazing.
I love that Saturday as a kid, too. We had, that's when we cooked breakfast, like a proper breakfast. Obviously, we didn't have time to cook a proper breakfast before school every day.
Sure.
But on Saturday, bacon, eggs, and everybody had their own, like, station, you know, like, yep. One of us would do eggs. Oh, my sister didn't eat eggs, but, you know, bacon. Some people wanted, like, my brother, Andrew, always wanted his burnt. Like, he always
of
wanted
course. Thing,
like, extra crispy. And stuff. Yeah. I mean, it was just so much fun. And then, yeah, same thing, chore day. Yeah. Saturday. So everybody had their chores and we would just play music and do our chores around the house and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a wonderful time. Wonderful time. Before all the devices and all the distractions and stuff. We actually go outside and play and have fun and use your imagination, create things, create
right.
you know, your own games and where there's no music videos to influence what you're, you know, so like when I'm hearing songs by Queen and Led Zeppelin and Boston and stuff like that, you know, you have these images that form in your mind,
yeah,
you know, about just about life and things going on. And when the music videos came in, it kind of told you what you needed to see, you know.
Sure.
So I think in a sense it took something away, not the live videos, but the, you know, the trying to be creative. I think that took something away.
Yeah, we would always have, like, whatever song was playing in my brother and I's room while we're cleaning, ever so often my mom would just, the door would go flying open and she would just come in dancing. And so a lot of times the songs that I hear, when I hear them now, the music video is my mom flying into our room and
goodness.
She, you know, and you're like, Mom, don't, you know, even though no one else is around, you're like, but I'd give anything now for my mom to come flying through the door and dance, you know?
Yeah, gosh, my mom would never do that. Not in a million years. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And today we're talking about who is Jesus. When someone's at, if someone were to come up to you and ask you, well, who is Jesus? What would you say? Mm. I mean, would you repeat part of the creed? Would you tell them about your personal relationship with Jesus? How do you introduce people to Jesus? You know, do you just share the gospels with them? What happens when your kids ask you who Jesus is, or they come back from school? I don't know who Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus anymore. That's what we're talking about there. Who is Jesus? 833-288-EWTN. Would love to hear from you today. That's 833-288-3986.
Something you can check out this weekend is St. Edith Stein, A Spiritual Portrait, and free DVD. Something to help you as you are looking to pull through some of the situations in your life. She's got some great writings to help you do just that. Available now at EWTNRC.com. Remember, when you are shopping, you get free standard shipping for $75 or more when you use the checkout word free.
That's right. It's her feast day today, so happy feast day to all of the Teresa Benedictas out there. All right. So our relationship with God is a family, right? Is a family. The family on earth is the image and likeness of the family in heaven, right? So, of course, by analogy, the Father and the Son, well, no, not by analogy. Our participation in the Trinity is like an analogy. The Trinity itself is God, the Father, and the Son. The love between them generates a third, Holy Spirit, who generates love and life and communion back to the Father and the Son in that beautiful interrelationship, interpersonal relationship of God within himself. And by analogy, right, you have a family, fathers and mothers. The love between them generates a third, who gives love and life back to their parents. So we see our relationship as Christians with God as a family, as a filial participation in the life of God. And it's Jesus who draws us into that relationship, right? So by adoption, because we participate in the life of Christ through his death and resurrection on the cross, we become adopted sons of and daughters of God, right? So Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All right. So we enter into that relationship, into that intimacy with the Lord through Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave us the ultimate prayer of understanding who he is in his relationship with God when he gave us the Our Father. Right. Because he is the base on which we can relate to the Father. Right. So Jesus is the foundation in which draws us into the Father. So that's why the Our Father is the perfect prayer. is the prayer that Jesus teach us how to pray, the apostles said, and he gave them the Our Father. The Our Father, right? The you know, our Muslim brothers and sisters would never refer to God as Father, to Allah, right? The God as Father. They see their relationship with God as a dog and an owner, a slave or a master. Again, that's not polemics or triumphalism. My friends who are Muslim tell me that's what they see their relationship like. Very different for us. So Jesus is the bridge that we cross to get to God, right? This idea of redemption is that the relationship that we should have with God that went awry because of the fall, because of original sin, is restored and reestablished in and through Jesus Christ. And, you know, we've said this before on the show that there were a number of effects of original sin. But the two major effects, there was the loss, the eternal punishment of sin and the temporal punishment of sin. The eternal punishment of sin is the loss of heaven, right? The loss of that divine connection with God, you know, and that's what Jesus restored. He conquered death, which cuts us off from God's life, to show us that not even death is more powerful than God's love, right? So this dynamic of loving and life-giving communion that we have with God is centered on Jesus, right? So we, as Christians, as followers of Christ, share in this love by knowing the Son. So the more we know Jesus, the more we come to understand, the more we accept his teaching, the more we participate in his work of redemption, the stronger that bond is with God, the closer we are to God, the more our hearts are united with the heart of God, right? So now we're getting to truly understand how Jesus works. It's all about relationship. Yes, there's rules and commands and moral codes and catechisms, but all of that are things that surround and support the relationship of intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion. That is the foundational relationship that we have with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Many other followers of religions are not there. Well, none of them are God. Only Jesus Christ is God. And that makes all the difference. So we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth, who is Jesus? If someone were to come up to you and say, who is Jesus? What would you say? Would you repeat part of the creed? I believe in the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, life from light, true God from true, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. I mean, would you repeat that part of the creed? Or would you begin to share how Jesus came into your life, how he came into your heart? Who is Jesus? That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear who Jesus is for you, how he has come into your life, how you tell people who Jesus is, how you share your faith in Christ with others. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, I've had this experience. I was speaking at, a youth event down in Texas. I think it was the DYC, I think they were calling it. It was in Waco. And it was in Waco that year. And I remember I was giving, I gave two talks, including the kind of the sending forth, the going forth talk. And so it was the last talk of the conference, you know, hundreds and hundreds of young people there. So I'm giving the talk, and I noticed that this young man came in wearing like a UPS suit, like he was a delivery person. So I thought, oh my goodness, this kid's lost. He's looking to deliver a package, and he came to the wrong place. But he started looking around. Then he sat down, and I noticed he did not have any packages with him. So I thought, oh, maybe he just came here from work. You know, I don't know exactly what was going on, but I did notice him from the stage. And so when I finished the talk, and I was making my way to the back, this young man was sitting down. He stood up and kind of stepped in front of me, and he said, "You know, my girlfriend is here, and the reason I'm here because I told her I would meet her after I got off of work, and I've never heard anybody talk about Jesus the way that you talked about him. Who is Jesus? Just like that. And all of a sudden I'm like, well, it just came out of nowhere, right? So I'm like, oh man, like here's an opportunity for this young man to discover who Jesus is, and it's on me now. What do I say now? What do I do now? You know, so and so I said, okay. So we went toward the back and we sat. So I tried to find a quiet place. So we both sat down. So we were still in the auditorium, in the arena. We're still there, but we sit down in the corner, and I happen to have a Bible in my bag, and I handed it to him. I said, "Jesus Christ is God," and in order to get to know who he is, you know, this is going to help you now. And I turned to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I said, if you want to get to know Jesus, read the Gospels first to get to know the Lord. Don't worry about the other books. Just start reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to learn who Jesus is.
Well, yeah, because those are recounts of people who were spending time with him. So who better than for us to hear those stories? But I love in that story as you share that, because it's a reminder that sometimes when we tell people about Jesus or we live it out, the enthusiasm somehow dies over time. I know I've been guilty of that. And I don't want to lose that enthusiasm. Now, not everyone is out to be a dynamic deacon, but we can still be dynamic in how we live out, and people, man, there's something different about you. And then you go, well, you know, I've been spending some time with Jesus. You know, I mean, you can't not, like, I mean, spending time with Deacon, there's an impact on me, right? Well, it's the same thing. The more time I spend with Christ, the more that I become like him, because I pick up nuances or facial gestures or whatever it is, because we want that. We need that to be more like him. And then the enthusiasm just naturally comes out because we are like Christ.
Yeah, and people recognize that.
Yeah.
You know, like when this young man heard me, and, you know, I speak at events almost every single week of the year, you know, so I'm focused on what I'm saying in that moment, you know, and I always pray before I talk, and, you know, I'm always nervous before I talk. It's like, if I don't get nervous, then I think something's wrong. Maybe
right.
It's time for me to stop, right? But so when the talk is finished, I'm thinking, okay, what do I have to do next? I'm always thinking about the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think about the impact of what I said and what it has, the effect that has on people. But what we need to understand, what you said so beautifully, is that when people encounter us, they're encountering Christ.
Yes.
In us. You know, they're seeing and witnessing, experiencing. That's what this young man, he was like, I've never, because why? Because I asked him, I gave him the Bible and showed him Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I explained a few technical things, like, okay, Matthew starts with his genealogy, you know, so I had to explain a little bit about what that was about, because I didn't want to get thrown off.
Yeah.
And then I talked, you know, the four Gospels, you know, one writer emphasizes this, you know, and the other and gives it in great detail. Another writer may have the same account, but it's much shorter because he's writing for a different group of people that need to hear the message differently, all that kind of stuff. And then I explained to him when he said, I've never heard anybody talk to you. I said, is your girlfriend here? That means she's Catholic. Doesn't she talk to you about Jesus? But what he said was, yeah, they gave him a catechism to read. And he's like, well, okay, like, here's this cat, but it doesn't tell him who Jesus is. See,
right.
And that's what I have a tendency we do as Catholics. Instead of sitting down and sharing our hearts and explaining the impact of Jesus in our life, we say, well, here's a book, you know, read this. You know, that's okay, I guess, but you got to lead with intimacy and relationship.
Yes.
You know, like, for example, if you met your wife, your wife's birthday, I know, is this weekend. When you met your wife, Ace, did she go, oh, I don't want to talk to you. Here's a book about me. read right. this. No. I mean, you don't do that. You sit down and you talk with people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it's funny that you say it that way because I, you know, being a guy with tattoos, I love to hear the stories of other people's tattoos. Like, hey, what's the meaning behind that one? Or what made you get that art or whatever? And so she had this or has this wraparound tattoo of this verse that she loves. And from the angle of her arm, all I could see was words. I was like, hey, tell me about your tattoo. And so in that story, she got to tell me about how Jesus had been working in her life through the loss of her husband when he passed and all the things that had transpired through that. Had I not asked about the tattoo, I wouldn't have had that opportunity. But again, it was her being quick, you know, because she could have easily dismissed, oh, it's just a tattoo about, you know, it's a Bible verse. Like, she could have just dismissed it, right? But she didn't know me from anything. She just took it as an opportunity. Oh, he's asking. So sharing, which I'm the same way. Like, I love when people ask about my ink because they're all faith related. It's either through a stumbling time in my life that I don't want to go back, or it's from a healing time and where I've been since. But I will quickly tell you why and where I am is because of who Jesus is in my life. And that relationship with him has made me who I am. Like, I don't want to be the guy that says, well, I want to go back and relive that so I could do it differently. No, if I lived it differently, I wouldn't be who I am and where I am with him. I had to make those mistakes.
Yeah, that's spot on. And I've said this before, our relationship with God is determined by a deep, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so many young people today, their relationship is a social construct. They allow the culture to determine who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of their identity, who they are, is identified by a political party, by a gender, by an ideology. You know, whereas we as followers of Christ, it's a divine identity.
Yeah.
Our identity is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who is God. And that's what we're talking about today. Who is Jesus? Would love to hear about who Jesus is in your life, the power and the impact of the risen Christ in your life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Anthony, watching us on YouTube, you got to lead with the heart. People feel that. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And I always say you have to lead with love. Right, First John 4:16 says God is love, and he who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. Right, and it's that God living in us and us living in God, sharing in that relationship, that spills out when people meet us and they see Jesus in us. It's a reflection of that life within the very heart of God himself. That people experience when they meet us. Like when I wear my crucifix in miraculous metal in public, right? I'm not doing it to brag or to boast, but it's a witness. It's a witness to the power of Christ working in my life. And I'm not embarrassed or ashamed of that relationship, you know? But even more than wearing symbols is the way we act, is the way we interact. And that's what Anthony's talking about. I love that. Tim, also on YouTube, saying, Ace, I thank God for every good and bad experience in my life. It has made me who I am. It was just what I needed to be ready to accept Catholic teachings. Thank God. So again, you know, the wisdom of Ace, you know, and his reflections, people recognize truth. When they see and experience Christ in us, they are recognizing truth. And that's what we're talking about today. Who is Jesus? What does Jesus mean in your life? If someone came up to you and said, who is Jesus? What would your response be? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 on this Friday edition of Beacon of Truth. And Teresa. Ah, Teresa Benedicta, right? Teresa is calling from calling near Flint, Michigan. Listening, watching on YouTube. Teresa, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you.
All right, what would you like to share with us about who Jesus is?
Oh, I thought I told you already.
You told a call screener, but now you're on live on the show, so now you can tell everybody.
Really? Jesus is my Lord and my Savior.
Yes.
And once I sit on my little Jesus stool to tie my shoes, I pressed my shoes, asking Lord to please let me walk in my shoes, like Jesus walked in his sandals when he was on this earth.
Wow, absolutely. See, what I love about Teresa is this just beautiful, simplistic faith. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And I want to walk in the way that he did, just like when he walked on. Beautiful. That's it. In a nutshell, he is our Lord and Savior. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. His name is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend. In heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. And every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father. What Teresa said so beautifully. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. We're talking about who Jesus is today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. James, calling from Houston, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 130. James, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm just calling just to describe who Jesus is to me. Jesus is, you know, the second part of the Trinity who deemed us worthy enough to be redeemed and repaired to the point where he humbled himself so much to be born into poverty, to be humiliated on the cross. But most importantly to me, he came to serve and not be served. So instead of being born into power and wealth as he could have been, he was born simply and humbly, and that humility in and itself is something that I try to grasp in my life.
Yes, a beautiful reflection, James. I couldn't agree with you more. Humility doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less. And that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He was following completely in the Father's will, complete and perfect harmony with the will of God. His will is united with God's will, not just his divine will, but his human will as well. You know, James was saying that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He's the Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And that's that truth that sets us free to become the person who God created us to be. I love that. And with just a minute or so left, we have Jessica calling from Illinois, listening on WSFI. Welcome to Beacon of Truth, Jessica.
Thank you so much. This is a total impulse call. I just wanted to share, I am a recent convert to the Catholic faith, and I have been saved. I was deeply involved in the occult, thinking that was the truth, and Jesus woke me up, and I have been through the deliverance ministry, and my entire life has been changed and healed because he loved me.
Yes. Amen. Wow, what a powerful witness to Jesus Christ working in our life when our hearts are open to say yes to the fullness of truth of our faith. So what a wonderful blessing. What a great week of shows. And I'm very much looking forward to next week. Why? It's marriage week on Beacon of Truth. We're going to be focusing on the sacrament of matrimony. And next week, we're going to be looking at the biblical foundations of marriage. So we're going to be talking about marriage, you know, more themed weeks on marriage. But remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.